Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
But we started the show talking a little bit of Browns, about a Jason Lockenfora report. A lot of Browns fans not happy with that Jason Lockenfora report, but we do have the game coming up on Monday against Denver. Also, the championship race, and I don't know where to say that, the Super Bowl race is starting to heat up in football as well. To talk about all of it, we welcome on Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coach, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
What is your view on Ohio State Michigan? I know you're a West Coast guy. Do you think Ohio State Michigan is the preeminent football rivalry in all of sports, or do you hold one dearer to your heart?
Well, growing up on the West Coast, obviously a little bit different perspective. Now, I live in Columbus, Ohio now, so you better believe I'm knee-deep in Ohio State, and my grandsons are all big Buckeye fans, and it's hard to go past, no matter where you live, past the Michigan-Ohio State game, particularly now living in Ohio, and the way that you view that team up north, and that whole thing, it's special. And it should be a great game, even though Michigan obviously isn't at the top of its game right now. It always tends to be a great game.
I didn't know you were in Columbus. Do you ever make it out to Ohio State practices or anything, or no?
I did. Was out of spring ball a couple times. Boy, they looked awful good. That was as good a looking college team, I think, as I've ever seen. And obviously carry around the pressure of the expectations that come with it. And seem to have gotten into a rhythm where they're playing really, really, really well now.
What do you think of Ryan Day?
Ryan's a good man. Good man, good coach. Dealing with, as you do, it's a good news, bad news. Good news is I'm at a great program that has all the resources in the world. The bad news is it's a fickle fan base that all you have to do is you know, misstep once, and all of a sudden the heat is on. And Ryan's very aware of that. He understands the price that comes with being the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
So with that, one of the knocks on Ryan Day, and it goes all the way back to Coach Cooper back in the 90s, and we put these labels on coaches, which is can't do ... So for instance, with Ryan Day, it's can't beat Michigan and struggles against top five teams. How real is that? Or is that just, like, meaning, do we have enough sample size to think that's actually true 5-6 years into the head coaching career of Ryan Day at Ohio State?
No, to isolate that to the coach versus the entire program. When that criticism comes, it usually is very focused on a singular season, a single game, and that there's something he's doing in that game or that he can't step up. That's a program issue. Now, if you're the head of a program that has struggled in those areas, then yes, there's a responsibility for that. It's not a matter of you can't win the big one. It's that you can't develop a program that develops the big ones. Well, Ryan Day is certainly a part of a program that has won plenty of big games. Now, when it's isolated down to that, and particularly now in our environment where it's all about the national championship, until you do win one, you're going to get that, well, you just can't win the big one until you do. Jim Harbaugh having just come off a national championship, going into that year he's done a great job and it's this, that, and the other, but he can't win the big one until you do. And then when you do, the hard thing for coaching is can you do it again? And if you can't, then you get that label. So, yeah, now I'm talking from a coach's perspective, so I'm obviously a little defensive about it when you talk about criticisms of a coach like that. It doesn't mean they're not valid observations, but is that truly how it is? And is there something about Ryan Day that he's not capable of stepping up in the big games? I don't think that's a fair observation.
Coach, we spent the first hour talking about a report out of the Washington Post suggesting that Kevin Stefanski may not want to be with the Browns, and because of what the article called the Browns a cesspool. We've been thinking about the idea of like, oh, well, of course Stefanski would stay, and so forth. Of course Stefanski wants to come back, but we never considered Stefanski's side of it. If you're Stefanski, 5 years in, do you continue with the Browns, or do you try to look for a job elsewhere? Is that a better road for himself personally?
Well, that's only the only observation that the head coach can make, just like an organization has to make that decision as to, okay, is this the guy to go forward with? Particularly when you get to that fifth year and there's a certain level of, okay, where are we? Where are we going? Has it been, you know, is it just the blows that's been thrown at them in terms of the injuries and the way the combination of personnel and the coach and vice versa? There's a lot of coaches. Bill Walsh was one that believed you can't stay in one place more than 10 years because it just gets to the point where you grind the personality of the coach and the organization and the fans and everything about it, just that familiarity breeds contempt. So is Kevin Stefanski at that point after 5 years going, look, there's just too many hills to climb here and the pressure that I'm going to be under and the scrutiny going forward, maybe it would be better for me to go someplace else. And that's not an indictment of Kevin Stefanski or the Browns. If that is indeed true, sometimes it is a situation just like, you know, you talk about the quarterback that doesn't perform well and then goes to another team and does. Sometimes you just need that change of venue. That may or may not be the case with Kevin Stefanski.
Brian Billick on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, you're the head coach in Baltimore for 9 years, and I know you guys won a Super Bowl. You guys had an incredible amount of success, but I mean, in that 9-year span, were there times where whether it's a conversation with an agent, whether it's a thought you had where you thought, you know, maybe I'd be better off somewhere else, or that the grass might be greener elsewhere?
Never for me in that respect that I thought, gee, there might be someplace else I might need to go. There are certainly observations by people in the profession or agents or whatever that are going, well, hey, maybe particularly when you're you're playing at a very high level and you've had a great deal of success, that maybe is now the time to capitalize that and go someplace else. That never occurred to me. Now let's remember, at the end of the 9 years, they did fire me. Okay, so, that is part of the equation, and sometimes there's just a point where there just needs to be that change, and I understand that. That can be a factor. Then there's also coaches like the Lou Holtz's and others who knew. Look, they can only take me for so many years, and would specifically go someplace else. Simply because they realize there's a lifespan to the effectiveness you can be with an organization in a specific period of time. There are some coaches that subscribe to that and very actively made those kind of moves.
Should the Browns be looking at Jameis Winston beyond just this season?
Oh, long-term, I don't know that would be, although he has played very, very well. History has shown us that when that happens, it's usually just a stopgap, and maybe can play very solidly. But particularly if a head coaching change is in the offing on a team that obviously desperately needs to reestablish itself, that's usually the best time to then go get a young quarterback. If Kevin Stefanski stays, and clearly they need to go get that young quarterback, then now that can tend to be out of whack, because now there's pressure on you, but now this young quarterback who comes in and is probably going to struggle in the first year, like most young quarterbacks, even if it's a first rounder, sometimes that feng shui can be out of balance, for lack of a better term. So if they clearly, that needs to be the direction they're going, And if they do, that may coincide with if there's a coaching change.
So we're going to be looking for a young quarterback potentially this offseason. And you've had such a great reputation given your work with quarterbacks. I know that I feel like this changes every 5 years, but like, what are the non-negotiables we should be looking at from either the person or the player on tape to know it, like, or to basically to help us, the fans, also find out, you know, who can be the Browns' next quarterback?
That's an interesting question because there's so many variables that go into it, and different attributes combine to make great quarterbacks in different ratios. The basic thing, particularly, and you're going to have to go get it in the first round. There can't be any qualifiers. There can't be any. There's no buts in the conversation. That's usually what happens. You identify a quarterback. This guy's going to be really good. And you get into the meetings and you discuss it and the analysis and you're this, that, and the other, but. Because you always put in the but because you want to cover your backside. There can be no buts. The guy has to check all the boxes. Or that doesn't mean that he can't go on and be successful, but you're right from the get-go saying, well, there still is a question mark here. And those guys are rare to be in a position. Sometimes it just doesn't add up just because the Browns are in a position where they need that kind of quarterback. That kind of guy may not be on the board. In a given year. And I don't, the quarterbacks coming out this year, I haven't done any analysis and can't tell you if they are or aren't. I can imagine there are some there. But that's the challenge for them, particularly with the litany of quarterbacks that they've gone through. And it's got to be an organizational decision that everybody signs off on. You know, we know for a fact when Baker Mayfield was taken, that was not a building-wide decision. And that just, you got no chance of winning if that circumstance exists.
Is Lamar Jackson the best quarterback in the game?
He's one of the most unique and certainly one of the most successful just because of the unique style and the way that he does it. But that combination of what he can bring, the big play, the running of the game, you know, and not in a traditional way. He's a good thrower. He's not a great thrower. And in the traditional sense of the quarterback, but he's redefined that. He does it in a different way. So the combined total, yeah, he's as unique and as good a player as we've ever had in this league at that position, all but differently than you normally think of at the quarterback position.
What would you do in a coaching standpoint and a coaching perspective if you had someone like Lamar that, I mean, he's about to win. If he wins his third league MVP, I mean, the sky's the limit for what he can do. But he hasn't gotten over that postseason hump, and it seems like the Steelers and the Chiefs just both have his number. What would you do when it feels like one team dominates him and then also in the postseason seems like he can't get over the hump either?
Well, like we talked about earlier, you get over the hump, win that game. You know, Peyton Manning was criticized for a long time, couldn't win a playoff game until he did and then won a championship. And then it's okay, you can't win a championship, then he wins a championship. Until you do, and there's no reason you can't. You know, there's a lot of team dynamics, obviously, that go into that. If he wins another MVP and doesn't, it almost probably puts more pressure on John Harbaugh than it does Lamar Jackson. Because then, you know, the speculation on the outside as well. You've got a three-time MVP, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. Why is that? Can't be his fault. You know, so there's a whole lot of pressures that come with that.
So with that, Coach, I know we got to let you get you on your way here, but what can you tell us about your work with X-Tech Pads?
Very proud and excited about where we are at X-Tech Pads. Number one pad in professional football. Major league, all the major Power 5 schools are replete with X-Tech Pads. They're the best pads on the market, and mainly because it's not a one-size-fits-all. These are almost tailor-made to the point of that it takes into account your height, your weight, your position, your age, your injury history, all the things that should come into factor in the right kind of pad to protect you. And if you go to xtechpads.com, you can see we have a very unique way of sizing that. You have a virtual equipment manager that will go through that process with you. We're currently in a Black Friday sale, 20% off until Friday. That's active now. You go to xtechpads.com, and these are the best pads in football. I'm very excited. I got two grandsons. We're getting into youth pads beginning next year. If you want to protect your young people in this great game, this very physical and violent game, you need to have them in the best equipment possible. That's X-Tech's pads.
Well, love to hear it, Coach. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful family there, and thanks again for your time today.
All right, you too.
Brian Billick there in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say of the Browns situation. A little bit on Ohio State too next on 92.3 The Fan. Well, but made mention that Vrabel could be a candidate here if Stefanski was let go, and then went into coaches and executives that know Stefanski suggest that he would rather basically get fired now if he's going to get
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fired so he can get ready for the coaching cycle, then play this thing out. There's a lot of suppositions in what Jason wrote. And neither you nor I have put 100% stock into it because of Jason's history and Jason, what he said about the organization previously. But for me, it's like, I definitely would want to know from Kevin, like, what about this situation is untenable? Like, what about this situation? Is it the power stuff? Is it just 5 years and you don't feel like you're any closer to getting that quarterback and you know that it's a ticking time bomb? Like, I think that would be a part of, that would be another part of this I would want to know before you'd have any conversation beyond that.
It's an interesting question. Like, what part of this would be the least appealing? Because if it was me, am I more bothered by the fact that Haslam is checking in on me all the time and seems like he's going to make whatever decision he wants to make? Or am I more bothered by the fact that they don't seem to have a direction right now, Nick? And I don't know who the quarterback is going to be, and I don't know that I'm going to have a say in who the quarterback is even going to be. Like, there's a lot about it that when you really unpack it, if you really do think you're great the way that Stefanski is, I get why he's kind of peeking around at other spots and seeing what's interesting,
you know,
if that
interesting,
is what he's doing.
That's just so rare that it ever actually happens. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? No.
Well, no, the idea that a coach actually is like, hey, just so you know, I love you, but I'd rather love you from a distance and I'd like to go over here.
Well, I don't think it'd be I love you. I think it'd be I've done all I can for you. I'm not your guy anymore.
Yeah, well, I think you know what I mean, though. Like, the idea of a coach quiet quitting so he can be traded or whatever, or telling a team, like, that just, that doesn't happen a lot.
Well, I think that's why we hadn't really played out that scenario, is because in our minds it's like, well, you're the head coach for as long as they'll let you be the head coach.
Yeah.
But if Stefanski's got weight across the NFL, maybe he's got more weight than even we realize. If he's got some weight, if he sees an opening that he likes, where it's a quarterback, stable ownership, going to have more autonomy attached to himself, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he does feel like he's done it all here.
I just would be surprised. I mean, because, okay. Like,
well, you're running from a challenge is what I think the surprise there would be,
well,
for you.
Well, and there's a lot of ego involved. Like, there's a lot of machinations. Like, the benefit I want to give Kevin is that I just don't see him as a machination guy.
Fair. Like, if you put Kyle Shanahan in a spot where he had an expansion team, he's still like, well, nobody else is going to get this team turned around but me. I get those vibes from Kevin as well.
Yeah, well, actually, the funny thing is, Shanahan had the 40 PowerPoint page thing that to get out of here.
Yeah, but
I could never see Kevin doing that.
That was his coordinator, though. That was different.
Yeah, but and here's the thing, because I had said earlier, if Kevin comes to you and says, I want out, this year it's actually somewhat easy. You're a 3-8 team, and Mike Vrabel's right there. So, like, it'd be the most salvageable situation, but I'll be honest with you. If Mike Vrabel wasn't right there, even with Belichick out there in the ether and Pete Carroll and Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, I'd just say no. But there is something. I mean, Mike Vrabel being the ace in the hole, right time, right place, that gives me so much less concern about, you know, screwing things up with Kevin.
Let me ask you something else that Brian got to, and I thought he was trying to equate this to Kevin, and I didn't see it as an apples-to-apples thing. He mentioned how Bill Walsh says that every 10 years – You lose the messaging, you lose the people around you, because in 10 years, they've heard it. They've heard everything that you can say, And it's something that Theo Epstein always preached as well. It's why Theo left Boston. It's why he left Chicago. That same idea. And it's amazing. I never knew Bill Walsh was the originator of it, because Theo has roundly got credited across baseball for being the thinker behind that. Every 10 years, you got to go and do something different because your message just gets lost. At 5 years, I don't feel like Stefanski that applies to at all.
Yeah, there would have to be something we don't see.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For sure.
Like Stefanski and Barry have done a really good job of having each other's back, apparently not just in public, but also private, because every report here locally is that there's none of that kind of infighting or backstabbing that you usually know. I think even Albert has kind of said that as part of this. Like, they've passed the pressure test behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That would have to not be true. The Browns would just have to be really good about keeping that under wraps. And I still, it just doesn't, like, it. The more we've talked about it, it seems like more conjecture than fact.
You're not buying it. Listen, I thought you did the right job in the first segment of being like, hey, listen, we can make a deal on it as we talk about it, but it's lock and four at the end of the day.
I also am incredibly arrogant that if you went from Stefanski to Mike Vrabel, you could sell that as an upgrade. I'm not saying it definitively is. I am very pro Mike Vrabel, but I don't think I would feel like now, if it was Stefanski goes to Philly and you hired Cliff Kingsbury, I would melt down.
You hate Kingsbury, though.
So, yeah, I do. By the way,
anytime I bring him up, you hate him.
It's earned.
Well, you're seeing
that dude. If that dude,
November, December, he just can't do anything.
If that dude looked like Sloth from the Goonies, he never would have worked in football. Let's just be really honest.
His looks.
The guy is a male model, and he's just out here getting jobs because people secretly want to sleep with the man. There's no reason.
I love that he's Mahomes' coach in college and couldn't even win anything.
Yes. And then
we just never talk about that, by the way. We just never bring that up. Got
Kyler Murray and almost broke Kyler Murray. He's making Jonathan Gannon look like Bill Walsh. Like, that's how bad Cliff Kingsbury is. And now we just have to be there like, well, but he's good looking. He has 7 weeks of an offense a year. Wow, blacked out.
He's a good looking man.
Let's go with Jim in Strongsville. What's up, buddy?
Guys, listen, I hate to, this Stefanski talk is just crazy. I like him as a coach, but let's be realistic. He's not going to be a hot candidate. These owners make these decisions, and they want – Kevin Stefanski has not had enough success to get a – he's not going to get hired. If he was let go this year, somebody would gobble him up and he'd be an offensive coordinator. They're not going to hire him as a head coach. Look, the guys, he's not Tomlin. Tomlin would get hired right away. He's not Harbaugh. Harbaugh would get hired right away. This guy won one playoff game and had mediocre success. This idea that these coaches, and especially, and look, I like Brian Billick, but the idea like, well, you get to that point in time where you start, please, Brian Billick would have pushed his mother in front of a train to get an NFL job or keep the Baltimore job. Let's not kid ourselves that these guys all of a sudden have all this perspective. Like, so Kevin Stefanski, I guess, is he wants to coach and he wants to stay with the Browns, because guess what? Like I said, there's only 32 of these jobs. They're very hard to get, and you got to go and you got to impress an owner. It's not what these talking heads around the league think about a player. It's what the owner actually thinks about a guy. And my guess is Stefanski, if you're going to look at his resume, like, I go back and forth. I think he is a good coach. I'd keep him around. I don't have a problem keeping him around next year. The guy I really need to go is Andrew Berry, because while Kevin Stefanski's coaching next year might not make a difference, Andrew Berry selecting those players that you're going to need 2 or 3 years down the road does make a big difference. But I just don't think there's any truth to this idea that, like, Kevin Stefanski all of a sudden thinks he's too good for the Browns. I mean, that's just a ridiculous narrative, and that's kind of what it sounds like you guys are saying.
So what's interesting about what you're saying, though, Jim, and I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. I do think there's a discrepancy in how Kevin is talked about around the NFL versus how people actually feel about him. I mean, it's so wild.
People respect him across the league.
They do, but, like, you know, oh yeah, he's a top 10 coach. Okay, so is he in the conversation with Reed, Tomlin? No, he's not. And so I think that is what Jim is pointing to. I think that's a really, like, do I think Kevin could have another job within a year? Yes. Do I think he might be closer to, like, the Vrabel thing where he should take a year off?
Okay,
yes.
But let me ask you this, though. The Vrabel thing is all fun and games, but I saw the other day somebody, I wish I could remember who it was, we talked about it. They had him in Chicago. Caleb Williams won't have a head coaching opening a year from now.
So bad because I remember talking.
We did that conversation.
About that.
Who the hell were we talking about?
It was definitely somebody.
We went through and we're like, this guy's talking about Stefanski to
name,
the Bears,
but it's not somebody who we're thinking of right now.
Doesn't matter. But like that job won't be open a year from now. If you want to go coach Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, that job isn't open a year from now.
Yeah, don't do that. Dude, find a better
Stefanski. You telling me Stefanski doesn't think he can win with Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but I think we all know Jacksonville is a worse job than Cleveland, even with Trevor Lawrence. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Pete Fute. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Continue the pre-Thanksgiving edition of the show. If you guys are out and about, obviously this is a big day for like college kids tonight and single folks. Be safe out there. Have a little bit of fun. You're only young once, all right? So have a little fun. Just make it, you know, safe fun, if that makes sense. Did I just ruin it by saying safe fun?
No. No, it's fine. Couple
that's a very days, practical dad advice that I gave people.
Couple days were always layups in the single community. Valentine's Day was one. New Year's Eve was always another one. This was not one of them, but it was always one of the better days of the year.
I feel like the night before Thanksgiving being like a big thing, I feel like that happened right after I left college, and I'm very bitter about it. I could have really made an ass out of myself many times over on the day before Thanksgiving.
Still got a lot of time there, sports fan.
Nah, I'm retired from the game. That's okay. I got a great wife, great life.
I meant making an ass out of yourself. You got a lot of time to do that.
Oh, that, yeah, but it's not the
it's
same.
It's a very achievable goal for you.
No, when I had no one to shame with my antics except myself, it was a lot more carefree and fun. Now, I have to think of the children. I have to think of my wife. I mean...
Well, somebody has to.
Yeah, somebody has to. And it really limits my potential as a jackass. But... Speaking of modern men, I don't even know where the hell we're going. Pete Fute joins us every single Wednesday.
The segue could have been awful.
In fairness.
You kind of landed it.
I just tanked. Every Thursday at 4, well, today, because of Thanksgiving, Pete Fute, College Football News, joins us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was going to say, you're going to go speaking of jackass, here's like nice segue there. By the way, I'm driving with my family right now, and I'll say this. Why don't you just go out tonight? Old people can go out and do that, too.
Yeah, no.
You definitely
I don't think
can.
So.
You definitely can.
I think we got to keep Frank the Tank in the cage. All right? Because the last time that Frank the Tank got out of the cage, I almost got basically permanently barred from one of my favorite bars in Wadsworth. But that wasn't.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. Why would you go out and do that if you're not going to do that?
Because I don't want to show up on the blotter and lose my job.
Oh, you don't think that they would keep you? You'd have content for days. You'd be even a bigger celebrity. Ratings. Take it, of course.
I was hoping you would have been the angel on my shoulder and not the devil on my shoulder,
I
Pete.
I was until you called me a jackass.
Pete, where are you driving to?
I will not. I'm going with my family to go to tea.
Go to tea?
We're going to need more than that.
The exact opposite of everything you're talking about for the last several minutes.
But like, do you just go and it's like a My Little
Ohio State's going to win? And yes, it's a segue. There's no segue to this.
Yeah, there's no segue because I'm going to need details on this.
It's also late for tea. Is it not late for tea? It's late for tea.
It's very civilized. It's like, you know, 3 o'clock-ish here. So
Pinky's out?
This is what people do when they don't do what we do.
Get some lemon squares?
Yeah. You mock, but it's probably going to be good.
We going chamomile? Are we going... What kind of tea are we going here?
I'm not there yet. I will get there. I'll report back next week.
All right. We're very invested on this tea situation.
Pete, we had an argument throughout the week, and it was debating whether or not Ohio State's season starts with the Big Ten title game or starts with Michigan. I've contended all week long it starts with Michigan, and I've contended because I read on collegefootballnews.com that Pete Fute believes that it starts at the Michigan game. So can you confirm that for me?
Yeah, I mean, like, you guys know this better than I do. It's forget everything. This is the season. There is no season after this because even if you were to lose this game, and here's the crazy part about this. In theory, if you were to do this right, you're sitting everybody because just don't get anybody hurt. That's the only thing that actually matters about this game from a national championship standpoint. But that's not how this works. And you know that if you lose to Michigan and then go on to throttle Oregon by 50 and win the national championship, then there's going to be a way too big segment of the fan base that's going to be like, oh, this season was a disaster, total failure because of this one dumb game.
So with that, is this a year where, to Ryan Day, to Ryan Day's stock, that winning the national championship actually means more than beating Michigan?
Well, it always does. But, like, it's not quite how it worked. Again, a couple years ago, field goal goes straight, you win a national title, and you still would have had fan base say, well, we're still 1,800 days since we beat Michigan or something. And so, yeah, but, I mean, his stock is way high. I mean, I think it is this team all year long, I mean, you guys have seen this more than I have, just plays tight. Like, every play, oh, my gosh, we missed on that third down try. How is this going to translate to beating Michigan? We're going to lose. And this team just plays like it's got everything on its shoulders, game in and game out. And almost like the Indiana game was like the first time where it seemed like they kind of relaxed. It seemed like they had it. And that was the best Will Howard's played. That's the defense continues to be great. And just if they can just get out of their own way in this, they should win this one without a problem.
Yeah, Pete, I mean, I see it the way Vegas sees this one. Vegas has it at almost a 21-point spread. There's so much of a talent deficiency there from Michigan to Ohio State. Michigan can't score, Pete. They have no offense. And Ohio State's got the best defense in the country.
I will tell you this right now. I can't change the future. I can only see it. Just if you're a first-half player, if you're one of those people, take Michigan. Because Michigan's going to be up 10-0. You know how this is going to work. There's going to be two Will Howard picks, and everyone's going to melt down. Oh, my God, it's happening again. And social media is going to go crazy, and then that's it. The Ohio State defense is going to clamp down. It's going to be like 38-10. I mean, you're right. They just can't score. There is no downfield passing game to worry about. You load up against the run. You dare them. And if Michigan hits a play more than 20 yards down the field, you just tip your cap and go on to the next play.
Pete Futak, College Football News in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I would like to know, what are the Thanksgiving plans? Like, what are you doing tomorrow after tea?
You mean besides writing like 19 more game previews for the biggest week of the year? Just eat, watch football like everyone else. You know, nothing too crazy around here.
I haven't gotten to the food takes yet. Are you a turkey guy?
No, I'm an anti-turkite. There's no point in it. If you don't eat it the other 364 days, why are you eating it now? When there's so much good food out there, why are we wasting our time on this?
Shouldn't we just eat turkey more? Isn't that the moral of the story?
No, because there's things like beef tenderloin and happy things like that in the world.
Yeah, do you
beef
supplement
tenderloin
it?
And tea? It's good to be Pete Futak.
Yeah, wow. Do you put like a ham? Is a ham a must at the table then for you?
No, beef tenderloin, mac and cheese, pie. Repeat. That's how it's going to work tomorrow.
Hey, I had one more college football question, Pete, and then we can go talking Thanksgiving or whatever you want. But Nick and I kind of disagreed. We disagreed about, and this is not the set in stone playoff, so it is what it is. We can argue about it when it does become set in stone. But I'm sure you saw it the same way a lot of people saw it last night, where it's like, wait a second, Ohio State would take on Boise State. Meanwhile, Oregon, and being the one seed, gets to take on Georgia. Like, how does that make sense?
All right, first of all, I know these people. They are smart people. Reese Davis is really good. That is the dumbest show that has ever been. See, I don't know why they're trying to make America dumber, because this bracket can't and won't happen, and they treat it like it is. Like, instead of going forward and thinking how it's going to be, because after the conference championships, all this stuff twists around, they kind of do it, well, these are the brackets today. Well, that's not going to happen because there's going to be a Big 12 team in. There just is. You know, one of these, you can't, the top 10 is pretty set in stone. Even if Notre Dame losing is probably the one twist here, Texas losing would make it interesting because that would mean probably an SMU gets knocked out. But for all intents and purposes, the top 10 teams that are ranked are going to be in. And that's kind of the thing that's lost here that they're kind of talking about is this might be actually sort of boring. We already know who's in. It's just a question of is it Boise State? Is it Tulane? Is it a second ACC team? So it's already kind of set. But, yes, the crazy part about this is they're not reseeding it. And I get where you don't reseed in the NCAA tournament because you have, you know, logistics. You just have, it's too much work to move around seeds and brackets and things like that when you have teams all over the country. But in this, there's no point. You could be the number one overall seed, and you're going to get the 8-9. And like you said, like for your first round game, you could get Georgia. You could get Tennessee. So that's why, like, the 2-3-4 in this seed-wise is probably going to be worse than, say, the 5-6-7-8.
You want to get really crazy. From what you describe, why don't they do a television event where the teams get to pick who they play?
How about they just put a camera in the room? Like, you have this horrible, you know, kind of, you know, hostage situation where Morton Manuel is sitting up there trying to explain what like last night. Well, we were impressed by Indiana. What, the uniforms? Like what exactly? And Reese didn't push on this. He's like, well, what about that Ohio State game impressed you, that they actually scored with 1 second left or whatever when the game was completely over, that they didn't get blown up by 52? Like, what about that game says, yeah, we got to put Indiana in the college football playoff? I know how they work. I know these people, and the reality is these are people with jobs and lives, and they actually don't know college football like we all hope they do, and they don't want to be exposed and have to make their take. So that's why they don't televise it, but they should. It would make things a whole lot easier.
Pete, I'm thinking Earl Grey with lemon and sugar, and then if they have smoked salmon sandwiches to accent the Earl Grey, I think you'll be real happy here, friend.
There's going to be mini vanilla bean scones, and I'm going to be all over it.
Well done, chap. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Going to live the high life now.
Be good, buddy.
Enjoy it, Pete.
Pete Futek, College Football News. Then going for tea.
Pinky's up, man. I love it. I love it.
On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we'll get back to Ohio State, Michigan, but Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, next on 92.3. Next.